Hello. I'm Shervin. I came to United States in 2011, directly to University of Michigan School of Public Health in Ann Arbor. And I did a master degree in public health there. I was graduated as a physician 12 years ago, and I was conducting public health research. Now I'm doing a postdoc at School of Public Health there. The study that I'm going to share with you is a multiple risk factor intervention for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease among women in the community. This is a community-based intervention. The study has 5 years of follow-up, and the outcome here is the hypertension or mean blood pressure. The research team is composed of more than 20 people. The founder was Ford Motor Company and Ford Foundation. The study was conducted by Oakwood Healthcare at Dearborn. I don't have any conflict of interest to declare. As you know, most interventions enroll the population for the intervention based on one risk factor. For example, we try to reduce smoking in the community. We enroll participants based on the risk factor smoking. However, in the community, there are different risk factors together. This is how multiple risk factor interventions is different from the other ones. The intervention enrolls people with different risks. People may have multiple risks, and the person who is making the intervention here, the coach, would target the intervention based on the risk factor for that individual. If the participant is a smoker, the coach would try to help him or her to quit smoking. If the problem is obesity, another approach is the problem is diabetes. The diabetes control would be the target. And the there are not many reports out there about the effect of these multiple risk factor interventions on different outcomes. Here, by risk factor, I mean high cholesterol, high salt intake, high blood pressure, obesity, high fat diet, smoking, diabetes, and low exercise. This is a Cochrane review report published in 2011, reported that after reviewing 55 clinical trials, which have done multiple risk factor intervention on primary prevention of cardiovascular disease using behavior modification, no medication. This review reported that, this is the exact quote, multiple risk factor intervention does result in a small reduction in risk factors including blood pressure, cholesterol, and smoking. Contrary to expectations, multiple risk factor interventions had little or no impact on the risk of coronary heart disease, mortality, or morbidity, which is very sad. That means primary prevention may not have the influence that we think or we expect. The study also showed that very few studies on multiple risk factor interventions among women and the previous studies have different shortcomings. This is a commentary published on that review that, as you see the title, considerable uncertainty remains in the evidence of primary prevention of cardiovascular disease. But why previous research has failed to show an effect, a significant effect on primary prevention? Maybe there is no effect. This is one possibility. But maybe it is a statistical power. The studies have not followed enough or have not enrolled enough sample to the study. Maybe the intervention group has not fully adhered to the intervention. as I said, duration of follow-up. When we do a clinical trial on behavior modification, even the control group also gets some intervention. Here in this study, the individuals have attended the clinic and they have, for example, their blood pressure has been checked every 1 year. That means this is a brief intervention for even those who don't get the intervention. That means maybe the brief intervention to the control group is a cause of non-significant finding. Another possibility is a non-linear change of the outcome. Most previous research, the type of analysis that they have done have looked at the linear trend. This was the reason we conducted latent growth curve modeling to look at non-linear change as well. But why the same studies, why we cannot generalize the findings from similar research who have done on men to women? For many reasons. One reason, we know cardiovascular disease is leading cause of death among women, but many women believe that breast cancer, for example, is the more common cause of death than cardiovascular disease. This makes a challenge for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease among women. Clinical presentation and biology and pathophysiology is different. Among women, it is more ischemic heart disease. Among men, it is more coronary artery disease. The physiology is different. Then we know if the diagnosis is there, women tend to use more healthcare or women are better patients. That makes their trajectory different from men who have cardiovascular disease. And there are some evidence suggesting that the profile of risk is different among them. First, there are specific risk factors for cardiovascular disease among women. Low estrogen after menopause is one of them. There is no such a risk factor among men. Or there are at least three traditional risk factors that have a stronger role for cardiovascular disease among women than men: metabolic syndrome, depression, and smoking. These are stronger risk factors than the other ones, than the same risk factor for men. All these, the study was done before I joined the team. I just joined the team as a consultant and to do a statistics, but this background has resulted in a study, in a randomized community-based trial of individuals who are at risk of cardiovascular disease, women at risk of cardiovascular disease, but do not have the diagnosis by a physician and may have multiple risk factors or may have a single risk factor, but the individuals have different risk factors. 400 individuals allocated to the intervention and the control group, and they were followed for 5 years. Again, the main features of this study, first, the outcome or aim is primary prevention. Another, it is a sex or gender specific intervention. It is a multiple risk factor intervention. The intervention is tailored to the need of the participant. For example, the coach has tried to help the participant to quit smoking if a smoker. A wide range of outcomes from biological to psychological and behavioral and risk factors. These are the list of the outcomes in this study. The first, the risk factor, including Framingham risk score. Then behaviors, including health communication, how much do you talk, with your significant others, with your friends, and with your physician about cardiovascular disease and prevention of cardiovascular disease. Then lipid profile, glucose controls, CRP, anxiety, depression, just the symptoms of anxiety, depression, somatization, health-related quality of life using SF-12, and clinical outcomes, death due to cardiovascular event or healthcare utilization due to cardiovascular event. The outcomes were measured at baseline, then 6 months later, then annually. This is the model, latent growth care model, that we fitted to the data for blood pressure. This is for diastolic blood pressure. As you may know, latent growth curve model enables us to model the non-linear trajectory of the outcome over time. Those three ovals are latent factors. We are trying to predict those based on the measurements of the outcomes at each time point. And one of them is the baseline. One is the linear change over 5 years, and the other one is the quadratic slope or non-linear change during the 5 years. And the question is that has intervention, because it is a randomized trial, now we can say increased. It is a causation, it is not an association. Just is intervention result in a change in linear slope or quadratic slope? The analysis is done using AMOS. I also used intention to treat. That means everyone was included in the study, and that provides a more conservative findings, because the intervention is diluted by those who have, for example, just attended two sessions or just one session. If we find something here, it's more likely that the effect is there. It's, again, more conservative. I did not do imputation. And the groups were not significantly different in the major socioeconomic factors and the hypertension at baseline. This is the finding for diastolic blood pressure. The linear slope is significantly different between the two groups. That means the intervention has resulted in a smaller increase in diastolic blood pressure over 5 years. For systolic blood pressure, the coefficient which is significant is quadratic coefficient. And this is my point that I talked about this in the previous slides. There might be an effect, but it might not be linear. Here is an example. If we do, or if we look at the nonlinear trajectory, there is a significant difference between the two groups for nonlinear trajectory for systolic blood pressure. The quadratic coefficient is significantly smaller in the intervention group. That means the rate of change over 5 years is smaller. That means it is working. And then risk communication. I have not included the other outcomes, non-relevant to this report, but risk communication is also relevant because we tested the mediating effect of risk communication, the change in risk communication on outcome, that we proposed maybe the intervention has first influenced risk communication, then an enhanced risk communication may result in a prevention of hypertension. There is a linear change in risk communication, larger slope among intervention group. And this is an ongoing analysis that we are currently doing. The first is what predicts the frequency of attendance, the dose of the intervention, because these participants could attend during 5 years. For 5 years, there was a coach that if they need, they could go to and just consult. We counted the number of sessions that each participant attended, and this is the box in the middle. This is the finding for the predictors of dose and the consequences of the dose. Those who had high anxiety symptoms were attending more frequently. Those who had high quality of life, they had high vitality, were more frequent attenders. Family history of cardiovascular disease was positively associated with the dose of the intervention or the number of sessions one person has received from the intervention. High cholesterol, the same. Not BMI, high weight predicts the number of sessions one person gets. And then perceived benefit has been measured at the second time point, because there is no perceived benefit at the very first interview. We use that means just 6 months after the intervention has started, how much do you think this is going to help you, and how much this has helped you so far? This single item, how much did you benefit, predicts the number of sessions over the next 5 years. And then all these factors predict the dose. This is interesting. The intervention itself didn't predict quitting. But high dose of the intervention predicts quit smoking. The intervention itself influenced systolic blood pressure. The dose also, those people who received more of the intervention showed a larger effect on systolic blood pressure. Risk communication, again, different among low attenders or those who attended more or less. And then these boxes or this path below this slide says risk communication may be the explanatory factor for the effect of intervention. We tested if the intervention has first influenced the change in risk communication, then that has translated in the change in outcome. And we found evidence supporting this hypothesis. This is not a cost-benefit or cost-analysis study, but because we were asked to provide financial or cost report to the funder to see if, for example, they want to continue the intervention or not, we have a very simple calculation here. And again, this is not supported by our study. This is just a calculation. We know 1/3 of U.S. adults have hypertension, and we know $93 billion is being paid on hypertension each year. There is an evidence that if 2 millimeter diastolic blood pressure in the population level is reduced, then we are able, for 2 millimeter, we are able to prevent 17% of hypertension, 6% of coronary artery disease, and 15% of stroke. We used those numbers and we came up with that. That means if the whole population gets such an intervention, there might be such a cost saving. Conclusion. Maybe we replicated the findings of that systematic review. The effect is not large, but there is an effect for primary prevention of cardiovascular disease in the community using behavior modification. But this is the message, at least I learned from this. We need to look at non-linear trajectories as for outcomes, not just the linear change. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Sure.